Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Terrorism is not new. Committing terror has been in existence for centuries. Terrorizing populations with horrible atrocities is as old as the art of war. The difference between terrorism and war is that war is organized. Armies fight against each other for territory, for principles, or to defeat rogue nations. Terrorists are nothing more than murderers of the worst kind. They will commit the most horrible of murders in order to get a people to capitulate to their demands. Rules of engagement, Geneva Convention, rules on war and civil decency do not apply to terrorists. The United States has had terror attacks before 9/11. The U.S. Marine barracks in Lebanon was a victim of a terror attack in the 1980s. One of the Twin Towers was struck by a bomb in the early 90s, a bomb that caused minimal damage. The United States before 9/11 also caved in to terror attacks. We did very little except threaten those who claimed responsibility. However, after 9/11, this was all changed. For the first time, the U.S. viewed the terror attacks against the Twin Towers as an act of war requiring a full retaliatory response. For the first time, the terrorists are on the defensive as the fighting has been taken to them. As of today, reports indicate that 75% of the Taliban and bin Laden's terror organization leadership and al-Qaeda have been captured or killed. Modern terrorists are for the most part Muslim extremists who have an avowed objective of ridding the world of those who are not Muslim. They aspire to a completely Muslim world. And that's kind of sad when we think about that, isn't it? Many nations have totally caved to the terrorists at the expense of the United States. The most notable are France, Germany, and Russia, although what has happened to Russia in the last week or so may change their mind. Hopefully, they will declare war on terrorists as well. Well, can a war on terror be won? Can a war on terrorism be won? That's debatable. It would be impossible to eliminate every single terrorist in the world. What can be done is to eliminate their source of financial backing, their leaders and their weapons as they are found. Terrorism can be reduced to a more manageable fashion. It would have been easier had the entire world declared war on terrorism as the U.S. did. Since much of the rest of the world decided to continue to capitulate to the demands of the terrorists because they feared them, the struggle will be lengthy and fraught with danger. But the struggle is necessary to keep our nation as safe as it can be. An NBC News analysis of Islamic terrorists since September 11, 2001 shows that attacks are on the rise worldwide dramatically. But thankfully, we haven't had any. Of the roughly 3,000 terrorism-related deaths around the world since the attacks on New York and Washington, the NBC News analysis shows 58% of them have occurred this year, showing that terrorism is on the rise. And as I said, thankfully, we have been able to avoid them so far. Well, do you feel safe as an individual? Do you feel safe as a nation from terror? We might ask ourselves, do we feel safe as an individual? And do we feel safe as a nation from terrorists? Even in the most resort areas of our nation, we still don't feel safe. Even if we don't travel, whether by automobile, plane, train, bus, or ship, we still don't feel all that safe. Some of you listening to my voice now can remember when you didn't live in fear as you do today. Our nation is doing its best in a military and a financial sense to keep us safe from terrorism. And for the last 3 years, we have been pretty successful. Today, 9/11/04 is our third anniversary since we were attacked. And we have had many scares, but no attacks. And that's a great blessing that we haven't had any attacks. Why do we have to live in fear of terror? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. I want you to notice some of the blessings God promised to the nation of Israel if they would obey Him. Notice what God has to say about this in the book of Leviticus 26, beginning in verse 3. And God is speaking to our forefathers, ancient Israel, which we are descendants of those people, the United States, Britain, British Commonwealth, the people. God is making promises to our forefathers that would have been carried right on down to our day. And we would be living under those promises if our forefathers had obeyed, and if we as a nation had obeyed as well, or if we would begin to obey, we could still have these promises and these blessings. Notice in verse 3, it says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." But notice, God said, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them. Yes, promises based on obedience, my friends. It says, "Then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of the vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of the sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely." What a blessing that would be if we were dwelling in our land safely. And we could have had this blessing, and we still could if we repent and turn to our God. Going on here in verse 6, it says, "I will give peace in the land." What a blessing. What a blessing, my friends. "And you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid." Wouldn't that be a blessing? Do you lock your doors at night? Are you afraid to go out on certain streets at night and even in the daytime? It says, "I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land." Now, is terrorism? That's a type of sword, isn't it? Now, we hope that it doesn't go through our land. "You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you." Now, if we could do this, everyone would be afraid to raise a hand against America. They wouldn't dare make an attack on America, any part of America. Verse 9, "For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you." Promises that God has made to us if we would obey. Now, could we say that we are a nation that is obeying, that has been obeying? Can we say that we are recipients of this promise or of those promises now? Well, I don't think so, could we? Now, God has given us many of those blessings mainly because of the covenant He made with Abraham. Because Abraham obeyed God's voice, kept God's commandments, His statutes, and His laws. You can read of that in Genesis 26 and verse 5. But God also said that He would take those blessings away for our continued disobedience and because we continued to multiply our sins. God goes on to tell us what will happen if we don't obey. Notice in the same chapter here in verse 14 through verse 17. "But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you." Are we living in terror, my friends? Yes, indeed we are. Not only terror of people coming into our country and blowing things up and so on, but we live in terror of storms, tornadoes, torrential rains, droughts, floods, rape, murder, and you name it. It seems that we are living in terror. We are terrified. And the word terror here means to tremble, means be agitated, afraid, amazed, troubled. Sound like our nation, doesn't it? "I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart." It says, "You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. My friends, how many times this year have we evacuated airplanes and air terminals because we were scared? How many times have we fled when no one was really pursuing us just because we didn't want to take a chance? And rightly so. Will things get better? We hope so, don't we? Are things getting better? We know there could be another terror attack at any time, anywhere in our nation. The war on terrorism can be won, that is, if our leaders and our peoples would repent and begin trusting and obeying God wholeheartedly. Not 25% of the way, not 50% of the way, not drawing a line and saying, I'll obey up to a point, but I won't go any further. We've got to commit 100% to God, His way, and His laws if we expect to live in peace. It's that simple, my friends, and it would be simple to do if we would only make up our mind to do it. And if we don't, the terror that's hanging over us will get worse. But for you personally, if you will surrender wholeheartedly to God, you can have peace. You can have God's protection. Now, our government is doing its best to protect our nation, to furnish as much protection and security as possible, and to destroy terrorists and their threats. But unless we turn to God, repent of our multitude of national sins, our success against terror will be minimal. God says the Lord is with you as long as you are with Him. I want you to notice that back in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 1, what God says, and He made this promise to King Asa, king of Judah, made this promise to the nation of Judah and to Benjamin here. They had just won a great victory over the Ethiopian army that had them outnumbered 2-1 or better. And notice in verse 1 here of 2 Chronicles 15, now the Spirit of God came up on Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. Now, my friends, that applies to you, that applies to me today. The Lord God is with you, and he is with me, to be our God, to be our protector, and so on, if we are with him. Now, what does it mean to be with God? Well, it means to walk with God. It means to obey His laws. It means to live the right way. It means to live and walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, obeying God the Father and obeying Jesus Christ, obeying their commands. So the Lord is with you while you are with Him. Says if you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Simple, and it's pretty clear, isn't it? Yes, living a right way of life is simple, and it is clear. It's human nature, enticed and led, drawn away by Satan himself and his demons, that keep us from wanting to live God's way. We don't like the way things are today, and for you personally, it can be better. If you would like to know how it will be in the near future, then we invite you to call toll-free 1-800-611-8080 for our free article, The World of Tomorrow, and request this article as well, Nations in Decline. All you have to do is to dial toll-free 1-800-611-8080.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.